Meditation prepares us for death. Anyone who is pursuing any spiritual journey of any kind is doing so because they want to die before they die, whether they know it or not. People who are drawn to the spiritual path, those are even dragged to it by their friends and relatives. That can only happen when such beings have an innate sense that this show, this material show, is not as alluring as it seems to be. There is definitely more to life than this. That person is fortunate if they come across a teaching or teacher who dissolves the sense of me, which is so strong. My likes, my wishes, my wants, my opinions, my judgments, to face all that while I'm alive, to unravel this mystery of the me and the mine, that is the spiritual journey. Let's say I no longer feel the need to react to someone or something like I used to earlier. Either that person with whom I would always react, or that situation, whenever it comes up, I react. Let's say I no longer feel the need to react like I used to. That means I have died to that situation or that person, and that is liberation. That means that person or situation no longer has a hold on you. If you are reacting to someone or something, it means something or someone is controlling you. The reaction is yours. It is not the other person's. The other person is pulling that reaction which was buried deep within you out. We think it's the other person, we think it's the situation doing it. But these are actually, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but these are our greatest teachers because they are pulling out what is within us. So better to die incrementally through life, little by little, little by little, and discover my peace in that. Bit by bit, incident by incident, opinion by opinion, person by person. Because what I will be left with is called the joy of being. The joy of being, not the joy of becoming, and not the joy of having been someone. The joy of being. Sukha Shanti. And when I discover this joy of being more and more, which does not depend on a friend, on a lover, on a holiday, or something good happening to me, when I find there's a total acceptance of a situation, no matter how painful, I find the joy of being in that. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it, but because I offer no resistance to it, I'm simply being. And by, this makes me stronger because I'm no longer looking for things from which to derive joy, the next purchase, the next social outing. If I'm left by myself, looking out the window, joy of being. And when I reach that state, I will find that people are happy to be with me because I am happy inside. Being attracts being. And you will find that when you are meeting people and someone is exceptionally opinionated or judgmental, you are looking through that person's personality into their being because your attention is no longer focused on the outside. Now you know that everyone you meet is shaped by factors beyond their control, their background, their life experiences, the way their parents treated them, the religion they went to. So when you are meeting people, because you are no longer seeing this outside shell of what they appear to be, you are meeting them in being. You are seeing behind the veil. When people go to sages, one common feedback is we don't feel judged in the company of a sage. Why? Because the sage is not looking at the personality. The being consciousness is what the sage is bringing to the front. In our daily lives, we are always battling with personalities, and life is a battle to survive. We are obsessed with surviving. The one who is willing to not survive will discover this dimension of life. And as they say, find life eternal. Would anyone like to share their experience of the meditation or any questions regarding meditation? You're welcome to.
Meditation.
For the recording, meaning. No, that's okay.
It's not about meditation per se. I was a person full of desire, of passion, everything about 30 years back. I went into an intense crisis. I was pushed at the feet of the Lord. I wouldn't have chosen if things had been normal. I feel when you have passion, desire, it becomes human love. Then it becomes bhakti. During the time, a Sufi saint guided me. Everything, the cosmic plan was so beautiful. I just got aligned with it. And in the beginning, it's like a lot of miracle happened. I thought these miracle and siddhi or spirituality. Then it took some time for me to have real, what shall I say, surrender. Oh, you feel happy. Okay, Krishna did this miracle for me. No longer like that. And today, my life circumstances are so conducive for my path also. But for this crisis, I would have taken millions of births. And so in retrospection, and of course, Krishna gave me a lot of whatever my feeling, it came a song in automatic writing. And the songs were so healing. People who were in a crisis, they didn't know the meaning because it was Tamil, my mother tongue. One day I just told Krishna, saying, nobody knows Tamil here. I don't know Hindustani music at all. My Hindi is Bajiwale Hindi. I got beautiful Hindustani song with my mantra at the end of the thing. So when I play this for the Hindi speaking, I used to translate Tamil, but it's not so effective. So all this sort of pushed me because everything was conducive.
So what you have said is very important. Is very important. Everyone has faced a challenge or crisis in life. But to have the realization that if it wasn't for that, I would not be where I am is a very big step. Because, you know, this step is a very tricky step. Because the realization is so deep that if I didn't see what I saw in life, I wouldn't be here. That you are almost thankful to God for that crisis. You see, that is ultimate bhakti.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see, there's an affirmation or a mantra, you could say. It's a long one, which I studied in this Tibetan course of breathwork, which says something similar. The gist of it is, when I send out the light comes back to me from all four directions. I send it out to someone, something, but it comes back to me fourfold. That is the term, fourfold. And see, the ego is a tricky thing. It reminds me of an incident which I've mentioned before. I knew someone who was into the worship of the Divine Mother. And he developed a lot of siddhis. So once he was going driving through villages between Delhi, Bombay or wherever. And suddenly outside a village, he saw a commotion on the road. Some people screaming, some crying. And he knew some accident had happened. Something untoward had happened. So he saw someone lying there, soaked in blood. And they said, help, 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 and all that was going on. The thought came to him that I will go and pick up a fistful of earth, mud. And if my faith in my guru is total, I will sprinkle it over this person and the person will be okay. So he followed up on that. Did this, and the person opened their eyes. And the villagers were shocked and elated. Now even this person was shocked that it happened. My faith in the Guru is so total that it happened. So you know what happened? After that, he tried doing it again. It didn't happen. Because the ego came in. The sense of doership, what was spontaneous thought, it came from nowhere. He saw this. He didn't know what to do. And he just thought, let me take the name of my Guru and take earth and put it on this person. So that spontaneous thought can appear to be very stupid. That is why Siddharameshwar Maharaj told Nisargadatta Maharaj, because he started doing these things. He had siddhis, he developed. So he started helping people. He said, this is not for you. And he told Nisargadatta Maharaj, instead you start singing bhajans every evening. A jnani singing bhajans. But he followed it till his last breath, because his guru told him to do bhajans. And I've said this before, when they were singing the bhajans, whatever Maharaj wanted to emphasize, he would sing in a louder voice. But the public didn't get that, so even they started singing in a louder voice. It's amazing. I had met someone who had two dogs. One was Bhakti, one was Shakti. So I said, Bhakti and Shakti. I said, very unique names for dogs. And he said, it's for my own benefit, so at least throughout the day I'm saying, Bhakti, come here, Shakti, come here. Then I was at Kasauli once, it's a hill station. I was staying at, what do you call them, like a homestay. They had three dogs, Lockie, Parval, Tindley. And for every meal, there was only Lockie, Parval, and Tindley. Names are very important. It's a vibration. Names are sacred, names are important. Words are vibrations at the end of the day. And the thoughts, which are the subtle form of words, is the vibration we carry within ourselves. Yes. Now you're going to tell us which siddhis you have?
No, I don't have anything. Today morning I had a discussion with my son. So suddenly it appeared as a question. So that I thought I'll ask that question. We were discussing about good and bad. He was raising a point like good may lead for the opportunity for the bad. Then while explaining, he say like giving is a good thing, but it may enable other person to misuse you. So the bad thing or keep on taking from you, things happen because of this good habit. So any comments on that?
If something bad has to happen to you as an effect, the cause will already be put in place. If you're going to second guess life by saying, if I do this, this should not happen, you're going to lead a life of misery. You have to do what you feel you should do. If the thought of generosity arises, leave the results to God. You're already thinking in the future that if I do good and if that person misuses the money, what is arising naturally and spontaneously is to do good. So why second guess life and creation? Yes, if you know that you are giving money to someone who is going to gamble it away, it would be silly to give it. But if you don't know, why are you thinking so much? You'll spend your life in thinking. Once the deed is done, the sage does not care what happens. All we can do is use our intellect to take decisions. We cannot control the outcome. If I have to decide whether I give this person money or not, I take that decision knowing, will I get it back? Maybe I won't. And I take a decision. Can I afford not to get it back? Whatever it may be. But thereafter, I'm free of it because I know what is meant to happen will happen. So when we start overthinking, then it keeps our thinking mind very busy with these kind of thoughts. When we trust and surrender to the natural flow of life, it is so effortless, so simple. We complicate simple lives. I'll tell you something about this giving business, which I know it's my father's friend in his 80s now, very affluent. So everyone knows he's affluent, including the bhajiwala, andawala, and dudwala. So the milkman asked him for money. Once I was walking back to his home with him, he said, the milkman asked money, but I have a very simple policy. I know everyone asks for more than what they need. So he asked for 24,000 rupees. I gave him 12,000 rupees. So he is happy, I am happy. That milkman happens to be the friendly neighborhood milkman. So one day I was coming back home from the health club and my guard sees me walking with my father's friend every now and then. He said, Saab, मैं एक चीज बोलूंगा आपको. हमारा दूध वाला बोला कि ये साहब जो आपके साथ चल रहे हैं, द पर्सन हु इज वॉकिंग विद यू, वी नो हाउ टू गेट मनी फ्रॉम हिम. वेन एवर वी वॉन्ट अ सर्टेन अमाउंट वी आस्क फॉर डबल. आई हर्ड बोथ दीज थिंग्स. एवरीथिंग इज परफेक्ट. मोर इम्पॉर्टेंटली, इट इज नॉट माई मनी. If I am giving money and thinking, will this person misuse it, use it properly, is it my money? Or did that money come from somewhere to me? Is it my effort which made me earn that money? Or is God has given me a set of attributes and circumstances which enabled me to earn that money? If I live my life with this understanding, my relationship with money will be a reflection of my relationship with God. Otherwise, it's me and mine. I must be careful about my money, my hard-earned money, whom I give it to. That is the me which is suffering the money. It is not yours. It never was. What is money? Paper or digital currency in the bank? It is just a thought, actually. But the ego has claimed it as mine. And then I want to socialize with my kind who have the kind of money I have. And brag to them about where I did my shopping, which holidays I went to. And I don't want to socialize with those who don't have money because I will be looked down upon. All this goes on in society. For the sage, it is irrelevant what your economic background is. Those games are not being played. The games of projection. And you want to be accepted by everyone. These are all games. Anyone else?
तो इसमें जैसे कुछ थॉट्स नहीं लाने हैं या ट्राई नहीं करना है सप्रेस करना कि मेरे को न्यूट्रल में जाना है, ब्रीथिंग पे फोकस करना है. नॉर्मली क्या होता है कि अपन उसी में लगे रहते हैं कि ध्यान किधर जा रहा है, फिर वापस ब्रिंग टू नॉर्मल, फिर ब्रीथिंग पे, तो फोकस पूरा उसी में निकल जाता है. तो मेडिटेशन होता ही नहीं है.
तो वो है टेक्निक बेस्ड मेडिटेशन. इफ आई से फॉर हाफ एन आवर जस्ट वॉच योर ब्रेथ, वो टेक्निक हो गया. करेक्ट. दैट इज अ डिफरेंट साधना. This is different. This is not about watching the breath. This is about no technique. So some people want a technique. Ki haan, mujhe agar aadha ghanta I watch my breath, so I prefer it. That is their preference. This is not that.
So ye mere ko thoda better laga. Isme after 20 minutes I was feeling relaxed. Jo normally nahi hota, warna wo focus hi usi mein rehta hai ki again my like focus is.
Correct. So what it means that this has appealed to you. Now you know this versus that, this has appealed to me. Someone else may say, "Arey, this guy wasted a half an hour. We could have gone and focused on breathwork somewhere else." That would appeal to them. So now you know. Otherwise, see, when you don't know, then a lot of time goes in all this. Now that you know that this appealed to me more, then you can focus on it more. That is where the buddhi, the intellect comes in, because that is why it is given to us, to understand what is working for me. And the only criteria here is the degree of peace that you feel. That is all. There's no other criteria. Anything which brings you to shanti is the only criteria that we have to keep asking ourselves. Where am I finding my peace? I have to be mindful. Where am I finding my peace?
अभी जैसे किसी पर्सन के साथ में अंडरस्टैंडिंग नहीं है तो बार बार फोकस उसी पे जाता है अगेन 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 कि उस पर्सन को कैसे चेंज करें या उसके थॉट्स को कैसे चेंज करें.
बिकॉज वी थिंक वी आर गॉड. नो रियली, वी आर ट्राइंग टू चेंज अदर्स बिकॉज वी फील वी नो बेस्ट. हु द हेल आर यू? जस्ट लाइक गॉड हैज मेड द अदर सर्टेन वे, उनका जो भी कंडीशनिंग हो बचपन का, what life experiences they faced, we don't know. But even I have been conditioned a certain way. So I am looking at others through my conditioning, which I don't realize. I think I know best. And I'm saying, this person should be this way, should behave that way. Aise kyun karte, ye galat baat hai. But I am also conditioned a certain way, which I lose track of. The sage knows everyone is conditioned, including himself or herself. Conditioned beings. So the sage will never correct someone. because he knows that my view may not be the correct view itself. So a total acceptance of the other without any need to change them, that is what happens. I leave the change to God. Yes, if I have to express myself, for example, I feel someone is doing something unethical or wrong, I can surely express myself. But when I express myself, it comes from a space of compassion, not from pointing a finger and blaming the other. So, jo shabd bhi hum use karte hain na, alag tarike se nikalte hain. The person will not feel offended. He feels you are having his interest in heart. That is how others change. Yes. And for this age, he's dealing with only children, no matter what age. It is true. Because he sees everyone is innocent. The sage sees everyone is innocent because nobody created their personality on their own. That is why the sage has an even vision. He holds nobody accountable for being a certain way. We hold people accountable. And then we maintain the books of accounts, the debits and the credits. What they did good for me, what they did bad for me. You know, it's really when you start walking on the spiritual path, it's so beautiful that the mundane really starts dropping away. What you were mesmerized by earlier does not enthrall you anymore. There's that term called shiny object syndrome. You know, I think therapists might know it. How we are just taken over by shiny objects, which means all that. And now that starts, that's okay as one dimension of life. You know, you'll still, if you have nice tastes and you have the money, you'll still do that. But that's not the be all and end all anymore. That is just one thing. Whatever you think it is.
I said you will not find any Guruji. He's just like us. But I realized.
Realized means what? To realize that what appears as apart from me is not. That's all. What appears as to is not. Real eyes. So what is real, I have realized. This manifestation, it is not unreal because it's there, but it is a reflection of the source. It is a reflection of the source. Without the source, no reflection. If you stand in front of a mirror, you must be there to see your reflection. If you are not in front of the mirror, you will not see the reflection. So the sage knows that when I stand before a mirror, what I see is a reflection of myself. That is the only difference. Even the nastiest person I come across is an aspect of myself. In what way? It is an aspect of the one self, not myself as a person. So the sage knows that the nastiest person they come across is also an aspect of the one self, not two. That is why my teacher would say that the sage knows that Hitler was created by the same source that created a Mother Teresa or Francis of Assisi or Ramana Maharshi. There are not two sources, there's only one. And these are aspects of that. And everything, every relationship is a learning for me. And when the lesson is learned, I don't have to repeat it. If I'm going to school, third standard, fourth standard, fifth standard, once I've learned what that class, that year has to teach me, I go to the next. In life, when I learn my lessons, they don't have to be repeated. There are other things to learn. This is the only school, the school of life. What is life about? Why am I here? Who am I? What am I doing here? What are others doing here? Otherwise, you will live life unconsciously till your last breath. What kind of a life is that? Creating endless suffering for myself and for others, and getting lost in a web of Rinanubandhan, creating such hardwired, complex relationships with people that they simply don't get resolved.